Hello and welcome to Moaz. The rains have started in Bangladesh. That's the sound of a downpour in Uncheprang just a few weeks ago. It sounds heavy, but it's just the start. The weather is worsening, and we're back to learn what new preparations aid groups are making, getting the refugee community ready, shoring them up and keeping them informed. Over the past 3 months, CARE International, a disaster and development charity, has been preparing over 5,000 households in camps across Cox's Bazar. They're also working with the government to identify and relocate vulnerable families. Zia Chowdhury is CARE's country director, and he tells us more.
In the refugee camps, what I've observed from my own very recent visits is that, you know, it's still extremely densely packed, that, you know, the people are crushed into a very small area, the tents are very small, and the number of tents in the area is also huge. So it's extremely densely packed, and that's one of my first senses. But I've been coming and going since the beginning of the crisis, and last week when I was there, I really noticed that, you know, the whilst it feels more orderly than the early days, it's starting to become very wet, and so the streams and gullies are kind of overflowing. And I've also noticed that there is, you know, a lot more stagnant water around, and overflowing kind of puddles everywhere. So it felt to me like the environment is just much more wet and a bit unstable, because, you know, it's very slippy and slidey there because it's muddy everywhere.
What kinds of support is CARE giving to the Rohingya refugees to prepare their shelters for the landslides and floods expected?
What CARE in Bangladesh has been doing for the last 3 months, because we know the cycle, monsoon season's coming. In the camp we work, we have around just over 5,000 households, shelters. So we've provided all of those 5,000 with materials to help them to strengthen their shelter. So that means additional bamboo, additional tools, additional materials to tie the plastic to the bamboo. So basically all the materials you need, plus the tools you need to strengthen your shelter, we've provided those in different quantities to about, you know, just over 5,000 households. And we've also provided the training and the support needed for people to utilize and build their shelters in the best possible way. These are people, most of them have never lived in a tent before. You know, they've basically lived in different kind of thatched housing. What we've also done to prepare people is those who are particularly vulnerable. There are many female-headed households. There are many houses with disabled heads of household or very elderly people. We've also provided the physical labor required by asking other community members to support, also people from the Bangladeshi host community. We've had a range of volunteers coming in to actually help the vulnerable to strengthen their shelters.
Only a few days ago, IOM reported that one of the camps CARE works in, Camp 16 or Baghona Putibonia, was hit by a landslide. None of the over 700 residents living there were hurt.
It's a long-rooted grass. Its root has a very high tensile strength. And the beauty of this grass is that it can survive in extreme weather condition, that is in very cold and hot temperature. This grass is very useful for slope protection, water purification, cleaning of contaminated land.
That's vetiver, a native grass growing around Bangladesh, and its main proponent, Dr. Mohammed Sharaful Islam of the Bangladesh University of Engineering and Technology. Vetiver grows wild across the country, and it's been used for many years by the Bangladeshi government. From his research, he's found it to be a cheap and effective method for shoring up slopes, and given time, invaluable in countering landslides in the camps.
Actually, Bangladesh is a low-lying delta, as you know. It's formed by recent deposits in the floodplains of the Ganges, Brahmaputra, Meghna River system. riverbank erosion and howland erosion, as well as the coastal road embankment failure, is a continuous occurs continually in Bangladesh. Landslide, riverbank erosion, embankment failure is jeopardizing the development of the country. That's why the slope protection is one of the major concerns of this country. However, the conventional methods that are used for slope protection are very costly and are not environment friendly. In this situation, this is a very low cost and environment friendly solution for slope protection in Bangladesh.
Vetiver grass is being planted in the camps like Kutupalong. In what ways will vetiver grass be useful in the refugee camps?
Yes, definitely this is a great initiative. I discussed about the vetiver application in late 2017 at a presentation at IOM in Cox's Bazar. In the refugee camps, there are many hills actually, which are prone to landslide or mudslide during the rainy season, which has already started the rainy season in Bangladesh. So although they have started planting vetiver this year, but in my opinion, this is late this year to get the whole benefit actually. I'm afraid how much benefit will they achieve this year actually. It should be started at least 4 months before the monsoon. But I'm expecting that next year it will bring a great success in the camps in slope protection. Not only that, as I have mentioned earlier, the people of the camps will be benefited for using vetiver as firewood, thatch, roof, handicrafts, etc. So I think there is a big prospect for the vetiver in the Kutupalong camps in Cox's Bazar.
সুপ্রিয় শ্রোতা বন্ধু, আমন্ত্রণ জানাই দে বেগগুনলাই অনুষ্ঠান ফোনার বাংলাদেশত আশ্রিত মিয়ানমারের জনগোষ্ঠী আর তার ডাহর হাসর স্থানীয়।
প্রিপেয়ারিং দ্য রোহিঙ্গা ইজ অ্যাজ মাচ অ্যাবাউট হ্যান্ডস অন ওয়ার্ক অ্যাজ ইট ইজ স্প্রেডিং দ্য ওয়ার্ড অ্যাবাউট দ্য ডেঞ্জার্স। বাট হাউ ডু ইউ টক টু আ নিয়ার মিলিয়ন স্ট্রং কমিউনিটি স্প্রেড অ্যাক্রস অ্যান অলমোস্ট 7 kilometer রিজন অ্যান্ড ইন ওয়েজ দে ক্যান আন্ডারস্ট্যান্ড।
ক্যাম্প গিনো মাঝে অনারা থাকন এ ক্যাম্পর গরবারে গিন মজবুত করার হামসলে।
Shafat Ahmed is a training and liaison manager with BBC Media Action, working with the UN's Communication with Communities efforts. They're working across 27 camps and using community radio stations Bangladesh Betar and Radio NAF to spread the word.
There's a huge amount of people. It's like almost around, even I would say, above 80% people are actually illiterate. They have never been to any access to any education, even basic education. So in terms of communication and messaging, we are doing pictorial and when in visual communication and in audio communication, and it's radio. And all the messages are in local Rohingya language. Some are in Chittagongian dialect. And just for you, it's the Chittagongian language and the Rohingya language is pretty much similar. It's around 80 to 85% similar. There's some pretty very small differences in wordings. So we are using pretty much both of the languages. And as I've said, in visual communication, it's mostly pictorial. And apart from that, and there's narrowcasting, and the message types are actually the same, which are we are broadcasting in the radio. And we are keeping all the messages from different NGOs and government in the same pace. It's synced, everyone saying the same message. And in terms of how important will they be in the next few months, yes, we are doing it for the moment. It's discussion phase. Nothing to worry now. It's just making them aware how when its early warning messages will be declared, how the situation could be, and to make them feel that how it's going to be out and how all the engaged community and the volunteers will be acting.
Can you explain more about the kinds of projects you're running on the ground as part of your information strategy?
American Red Cross, along with CPP. CPP is a government-led cyclone preparedness program, which is a 40-year-old organization being operated here in Bangladesh. As you know, it's a very disaster-prone country, and they are very, very well experienced in dealing all these disasters for so long. And they have come along with American Red Cross and Bangladesh Red Crescent Society to create volunteers in the camps. And because given the scenario, there might be no NGO worker or ING worker while it's above 4 or 5 signal. So we have actually trained these volunteers from their Rohingya community about the early warning system and how the flagging works actually. And the flag system is the system that is used nationally by the CPP, by the Bangladesh government. And it's actually three flag system. And for the first flag, it's from signal 1 to 3. And for the two flag, it's from signal 4 to 7. And signal 8 to 10, it's three flag. And all the volunteers and the community people, everyone are quite pretty much aware of this flagging system, what to do when. And for the moment, we are doing FAQ discussion, and it's a FAQ is a guideline to trigger discussions and make community people aware of this system. And at the same time, CPP is training and capacity building all the sectoral volunteers who are working in so many other sectors like health, nutrition, WASH. So it's actually a combined messaging and combined system, and in terms of early warning messaging.
The next person this side. In fact, I should with that hand. Okay, let go with that hand. Just with that hand. The next person. This side. The casualty, the person who we are helping, in the middle.
MOAS is also getting its aid stations ready for the coming weather. As well as being MOAS's logistics director, Paul Chamberlain is also a flood rescue expert. He's been training the medical teams to continue to provide medical care to patients, even when the land is flooded and unstable.
We've spent a bit of time looking at some kind of mitigation measures for our two aid stations. So we've improved drainage, we've improved the structures, we've reinforced retaining walls where necessary, we've strengthened gates to make them more cyclone proof. So we've done mitigation works as best as we can. We've also spent quite a bit of time working with our team of doctors and nurses and providing them with some training to operate in flood. And that training that they've had is comparable to the training given to the Bangladesh Fire and Rescue Service. So it's up there in terms of, it's about as high a level training as you can get in Bangladesh at the moment. And we've been fortunate through donations that we've been able to buy and ship in some equipment to keep our team safe when they work in flooded environments.
What kinds of training is the team getting?
So what they've now got is they've now got the capacity, if needed, to wade through floodwaters safely, which is something quite unique amongst medical teams. So there is a real fear that areas of the camps could become isolated and therefore people find it difficult to get to medical care. So we've kind of taken a principle that is utilised the world over, actually, that if people can't get to medical care in the time when they need it the most, we will take the medical care to them. So we now have that capacity to load up some equipment on an inflatable sled, that the staff obviously have some protective equipment that they can wear, protective suits that they can wear to protect them from the contaminated water, and they now have the ability to wade into areas and access areas of the camps where we work that may be cut off by floodwater and provide either treatment there or, if necessary, evacuate people back to our two camps and provide further treatment there before onward referral.
How is the team responding to the training?
Traditionally, Bangladesh sees a lot of its flooding is kind of quite low energy. But what we're expecting, because of the kind of topography and the slopes and all of that sort of stuff, we're expecting water to be flowing and moving. So it's a much more high-energy environment. It's kind of a level of flooding potential they haven't seen before in this part of Bangladesh. So, which is why we've spent a little bit of time planning and training for it.
What is the worst-case scenario?
The worst-case scenario would be a cyclone. So a cyclone would bring strong winds, very strong winds, 60, 70, 80 mile an hour winds, flooding and heavy rains. The initial effects of that cyclone would be to just about wipe out every single shelter in every single camp. Secondary effects would obviously be flooding, and then kind of post the immediate flood there would be issues of needing to resupply fresh drinking water because that would all be contaminated, re-establish food supplies and re-establish healthcare. In the event of a cyclone like that, it wouldn't just obviously affect the million or so Rohingya refugees in the camp, but it would also affect the entire host population of the area, many of whom are incredibly poor and live in shelters made out of bamboo as well. So an event like that would be just about the worst imaginable, and that would rely on a combined effort from not only the humanitarian and aid agencies working there, but also the Bangladeshi military and Bangladeshi civil defence.
At the time of recording, the first reported monsoon rains have hit the camps. Around 230 millimetres of rain has fallen on Cox's Bazar in just 24 hours, and Bangladesh's meteorological department warns there's more on the way this week. So far, 28,000 refugees have been relocated, and many thousands of shelters strengthened. But will it be enough? If you like this podcast, don't forget to hit like, comment, and subscribe for more podcasts from us. You can also follow us on our social media. Check out our latest updates on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, and Audioboom. Or you can donate to help us help Rohingya refugees. From all of us here at Moas, goodbye.